the democratic dimension doesn't explain the upheaval itself because it comes after a very long history of despotism. So why now? So democracy was certainly a major feature of the whole mobilization, but at the core of it, in Tunisia, the main slogan was about employment, actually.
There is no shortage of explanation for the Arab Spring, but Professor Gilbert Achkar sees its cause not so much in a sudden desire for democracy or the global economic turndown, but in the particular situation of Arab capitalism, which relies on speculation rather than public or private investment.
There's no part of the world where you have such a concentration of rentier states and the lowest proportion of state revenues coming from taxes. Stalled development is a major problem there, and it's there to last unless you reverse this whole structure. So the resources are not the problem there. There's no resource curse in that sense. It's the problem of how they are used.
Indeed, most Arab states have historically been authoritarian regimes controlled by an entrenched bourgeoisie or even a single family, and neoliberal crony capitalism is the norm. Revolutions are supposed to create a new political landscape, but elections in Tunisia and Egypt were won by Islamic parties.
The outcome of these elections and the parliaments and the governments that they produce in Tunisia and will be producing in Egypt are definitely not a response to the deep roots that I mentioned, because these forces are committed to the neoliberal framework. They are, of course, like everybody in the big movement against corruption. But corruption for them means they themselves were ostracized by the crony capitalism. The social question for them is resolved through charity, not equality.
In other countries such as Iraq, Libya, and Lebanon, tribal and religious factionalism slowed down the revolutionary process, which may take years if not decades. The democratic dimension, according to Dr. Sama Selim, is one that has captured the Western imagination and helped spark the Occupy movement.
The revolutions in the Arab world have reopened a whole set of questions about what does revolution mean in the 21st century, and how does what's happening today in the Arab world make us rethink where the legitimacy of the revolution lies, whether it's on the street and the will of the people or in democratic institutions. How can that help us think about corporate democracy as it exists outside of the Arab world?
More specifically, despite its inability to take advantage of the politics of power, the Arab Revolution fostered new forms of organizing and direct action that successfully challenged the state. And this should be a lesson for the old left.
From Morocco to Syria, people use new technologies, using the internet, organizing networks. And these networks were decisive, for instance, under conditions of very repressive states.
But in the end, the fate of the Arab Revolution lies in waking up a sleeping giant.
The trade union movement is the main answer to the problem in the region. There are always ways of solving these problems of development until you reach whatever dynamism we can attribute to capitalism, at least theoretically, a limit. The alternative, even there, would be not socialist revolution or nothing, but socialism or barbarism. But we are heading toward this kind of situation. We are not completely within it yet.
For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.